This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
When you're on.
Well, it's episode 22 of the Kevin Kelly Show, so we figured we'd bring you two guests this week. Hi, everybody. Kevin Kelly back here once again. We're found all over the place, but my home away from home is the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. That's where you find the Kevin Kelly Show every single episode, plus all the great content as well. As I said, two special guests here in the hour. A little bit later on, we're going to hear from R.D. Evans. And it is going to be one of the most unique interviews you will hear. It's not going to be like anything else you've ever heard on this show. He is different. And if I could make the comparison, the analogy to that, to kind of the Andy Kaufman, if you will, to where R.D. Evans is R.D. Evans. I don't know his real name, if it is, if there is one. I only know him in his wrestling persona. That's the only side we're ever going to see, but we're going to give him a few minutes because he's got a huge match coming up this Saturday in San Antonio, Texas, against Jay Lethal. He puts a winning streak of 173 in a row on the line against Jay Lethal for the television title, so R.D. Evans will join us in a few minutes. But our guest that we've been really looking forward to and wanted to have on for a while is, he's the real voice of Ring of Honor Wrestling. We go back and forth about this and he gives me a hard time about it, but this man's voice is simpatico with the sound of Ring of Honor. Ring announcer Bobby Cruz, I put him in very high company, and we've got a lot of things to talk about with Bobby. Not only is he opinionated about, you know, he'll have some stories, I'm sure, about the past, but he's opinionated about sports, opinionated about everything, life. We'll try to delve into his, his love life as well, which is a tattered mess at times, but it's always entertaining when we're on the road. So we'll talk to our pal Bobby in a little bit, and we've got other fun stuff to do here as well. Here on the show, we're going to play a game, as we always do. We'll do our trending stories, and we'll, of course, cover the topic of the day, where we talk about our pal, good old JR, Jim Ross. So this past weekend, man, I had a good time. When I travel on the road, I travel with Steve Corino. Corino and I, and Ring of Honor is very gracious and accommodating. They fly us to the towns. They put us up in hotels. They make sure we have transportation to and from the building. Everything is great. One of the things, and we do this in business all the time, you share a room. And it's not uncommon. So you kind of get to pick who you want to choose your roommate to be. And so Corino and I share a room. We have our own beds. It's very platonic. Don't get any crazy ideas, JR. But Corino and I are having so much fun traveling together. And he's just a trip. I said, and then it carries over. A lot of the jokes that happen during the day carry over to the broadcast. So when something really makes us laugh, it might have made us, on the air, it might have made us laugh like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I've never enjoyed that type of relationship. I had a good working, really, really good working relationship and friendship with Dr. Tom. But we didn't get enough real time together to be able to, on the air, to be able to yuck it up. I got along well with Michael Cole when we worked together as well, and with Coach. But again, didn't get enough time to really work together to develop kind of that team chemistry. I always thought Cole and I had very good chemistry. I thought Dr. Tom and I had good chemistry as well. But what we're able to develop between Steve and I has been a lot of fun. And it's been a boon to my career. It has made me feel good about the wrestling that we're doing. And it's leading to, I think, some very good announcing as well. I'm proud of what we're doing in Ring of Honor. I'm proud of the efforts that we're doing. And And the reason I bring this up is because we're going to talk to Bobby Cruz in a little bit, and we're going to talk about Jim Ross a little bit later on. But I think that the wrestling announcing, especially today, is not what it was. So when Carino and I get accolades or praise, like we were voted as the most popular team in a Wrestling Observer online poll, and for that we're flattered. But I remember when I was a kid, there was so much better announcing. I think the wrestling today has never been better in terms of the athletes and the athleticism. But I think that the opportunities given to young announcers, they're just not there like they used to be. And I think that that's why Carino and I are so lucky and blessed to be able to be in the spots that we're in, to be able to describe the action and to be in so many homes of a product like Ring of Honor. So it has been great, and we are very, very thankful for that. So I just wanted to kind of, you know, and Carino, of course, heard he'll be back very soon here in Place to Be Nation. And he'll be bringing forth, kind of a new effort and energy into his podcast. But that's one of the reasons why he's here. That's one of the reasons why I'm here, because Place to Be Nation is a great home for us to be able to vibe and do that kind of thing. But you know what? It's time. Let's go ahead and get our pal Bobby Cruz loaded up here on the phone, and we'll welcome him in here shortly. But first, let's talk to JR. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I am here.
Hello, my friend.
How are you?
Hey, good. Before we get Bobby on the line, do we want to tell folks where they can find the Place to Be Nation each and every, or the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week?
You want to tell them that, or you want to tell them where to find those Kim Kardashian pictures that hit the internet today?
Wow. Did she break the internet?
Hachi machi, sir.
Hachi machi, indeed.
Are you a haste man?
Haste?
You can find The Kevin Kelly Show in any of the following ways by visiting PlaceToBeNation.com and clicking the Kevin Kelly Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side, by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes or visiting Stitcher.com, subscribing to the Place to Be podcast, download the Place to Be Nation podcast app as well by hitting up PlaceToBe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. You can also find a new special ROH edition of this show exclusively at ROHWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @PlaceToBeNation, @RealKevinKelly, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation, and hit us up with any questions or suggestions for the show at KevinKellyShow@PlaceToBeNation.com. Yeah, Billy Gunn, you know, a haste man.
Yeah, Billy Gunn, right. Hey, our pal is on the phone. I told you he was joining us. I've been wanting to have him on for a while, and he and I will have this debate. We'll settle it once and for all. Pistols at dawn. I don't know what we're going to have to do, but I believe that this man is the voice of Ring of Honor. He's Bobby Cruz. He's been ring announcing since Carter was president, I think, and he joins us here on the Kevin Kelly Show. How are you doing, my friend?
Hi, Kevin. You had the lead with that, huh? The whole voice of Ring of Honor thing right off the bat. Let's just jump right into it.
We've got to lay our cards on the table, Bobby. I'm not going to mince words with you. You're the voice of Ring of Honor. Your voice, well, you know what? We're both the voice of Ring of Honor. How about that?
I think you're the voice now, and I've said this in the past. I think it was Dave Lagana first gave me that title back when he was producing our HDNet shows up in Denver. And just one day, he put the graphic up, Voice of ROH, and it was basically back then I was working every single show, TV, house shows, whatever. But that's certainly not the case anymore. So I definitely think you're the voice of Ring of Honor.
Well, all right. Then, well, how about this? We'll settle this. But in terms of... Well, first of all, how the hell did you find your way into Ring of Honor? Because you have a career outside of wrestling. You have built a very successful sales business. How did you find your way into this crazy world?
Ring of Honor really came from working with Steve Carino in his PWF promotion. I guess, long story short, I first met Steve when I was booking for a company up here in Mass called Yankee Pro Wrestling. It was right at the end of ECW. I was looking to bring in some different quote-unquote names, and Steve was pretty hot then, so I brought him up for some events. And not only was I booking him, I was also ring announcing him, and he liked my announcing, so he asked me to go down to the PWF when he was running down in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, once a month on Sunday nights, which was the most brutal trip in history.
Oh, God. Then you had to drive all the way back home to Rhode Island and go to work Monday morning.
Yes. It's brutal, and it's worse. It was not even Rhode Island; it's Massachusetts. So it was another half hour.
Oh, that's right. But,
God, I hated those trips. I mean, I loved the opportunity, and that was the first time I branched out of New England with ring announcing. But yeah, brutal trips. So I was working with Steve there, and that's what kind of got the ball rolling with some different things with 01 and so forth. And I was online one night with the old AIM, and he said he was going back to Ring of Honor, and he was going to have a feud, you know, rekindle his feud with Homicide, I guess. And he had this idea to have his personal ring announcer. And kind of just ran the idea past me and said he wanted me to do it. And it was easy for me. I didn't have anything to do with it except reading the thing in the ring. He and Guillotine Legrand, one of the great minds in the independent wrestling that I've met, wrote the things. And so I did those, I guess, maybe five or six times, I would guess. And then there was a show up here in Mass, I think Lexington, Mass, where I think they were still using Stephen DeAngelis on the East Coast at the time, and he couldn't make it. So Gabe actually asked me to fill in. I jumped.
You pull a hamstring like that. Don't jump without warning.
Carino was supposed to go to do two Ring of Honor shows in Dayton and Chicago. And I was going to do the Carino intros on that weekend out there. I think that was going to be the last of them. He got pulled a week or two before by 01. And so Gabe basically said, well, why don't you just still come out here? And instead of doing the gimmick, why don't you announce the show straight up? So that's what I did. And then there was a show up here in Lexington where Stephen DeAngelis couldn't make it. So he asked me to fill in. And then there was after that night, he kind of pulled me aside. He said, would you be interested in doing all our East Coast shows? And I said, yeah, great, if it's available. And I think at that time, I never heard anything else. It just kind of died on the vine right there. And then a few months later, in November of 04, Carrie called me. Carrie Silkin called me, and he said, hey, we want you to be a ring announcer for all our events. Do you want the job? And I said, if it becomes available, I'll take it. He said, all right, give me an hour. And within a half hour, he called me back. He said, okay, it's available. We want you to do it. So that's kind of how it went down. And then from that point on, I was basically doing every Ring of Honor event. Didn't matter where it was. Obviously, those days are long gone. But that's really how Ring of Honor stuff happened.
Well, now fans, they see you and hear you on television. And they see you and hear you on pay-per-view. Like at Final Battle, Sunday, December 7th. Call your cable operator.
Yes, please.
Satellite provider. But is that something that, I mean, I don't know. Is that something that bothers you, or is it water off a duck's back? What do you think? Where do you feel? Be honest with me.
As far as not working as many Ring of Honor events?
Yeah.
Oh, it pisses me off. There's no doubt it pisses me off. I understand it. You know, next April will be 21 years that I've been ring announcing. So, by the way, I started at 21, so I'm only going to be 42 next February. I'm not.
See,
like,
there you go.
55. But, you know, I've always said no one has ever, in the 20-plus years, paid to see me. Now, people have gone, family, and girlfriend, wife, my wife, whatever, you know, have gone.
Sometimes both.
But they've never paid, you know what I mean? So I understand the whole thing as to why I'm not doing nearly the events I used to do or would like to do, but it's just kind of one of those things. It doesn't mean I have to like it. You know, there was a thing that came out was maybe a month and a half ago, this about me talking to TNA and meeting with TNA officials and wanting to go to TNA, and I met with Dave Lagana and I met with John Gaborik and whatever. I mean, it was a bunch of garbage. I mean, literally, I was in town the same day they were in town in New York City. I was going to a Billy Joel concert with my daughter, and I went by and saw six, seven, eight old friends who used to work in Ring of Honor. I was there for a half hour at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was it. But the only legitimate part of the story was that I was or am unhappy about announcing as many events. And so whatever source they used, got 75% of the story was garbage, but that I will say that part was at least true. But well, I don't think I've really put that out there. You know, I mean, you're asking me to be honest, and I've known you a while, so I'll be honest. But I don't go around and complaining about it. It's just it is what it is. And do I think it'll change? Probably not. I think it's been going like this long enough. You know, you guys were just in Ohio for Survival of the Fittest. Sure, I would have liked to hear those two, but
right.
You know, it's not my decision. awesome.
When you watch, if you watch the shows, you're going to get really annoyed, by the way, at Steve Corino, your pal.
Yeah.
Because Corino said that he would like, if when they get rid of Nigel, he would like to be matchmaker. And I said, oh, really? What are some of the things that you would institute in Ring of Honor if you were the matchmaker? And he said, well, over the top rope DQ, of course.
Oh, God,
and
yeah.
I'd get rid of Bobby Cruz.
Really?
Some friend,
well,
huh?
I mean, they're already halfway there. So, I mean, I said this to Todd Sinclair, who's obviously not only the best referee I've ever seen, but the guy I've traveled with for years and years of Ring of Honor. And I always say, I wonder when I walk into or out of a building, is that the last time? And I hope it doesn't, you know, when it happens, I hope it doesn't go down that way. I would hope I would have some sort of notice. You know, for example, if they were to get rid of me after Final Battle, I would have hoped they would have told me like June or July. You know, at least so I had some time and I knew what was going on and stuff. But
right.
It's not the real world. And
it's not the way the world works. I mean, even WWE, they fired Mark Yatton. While he was doing loadout, he got fired by some guy he never even met before. They just said, hey, Mark, I'm so-and-so, and tonight's your last night. You're finishing up.
Right. And, you know, that's reality. That's real life, unfortunately. And, you know, the same thing obviously just happening recently with Justin Roberts, who for the past decade plus has been the number one ring announcer in wrestling. When you look at everything he has accomplished in the past 10, 12 years and the schedule he kept up and, you know, from what I read, the way it went down is he did Raw, and after he did Raw, Kevin Dunn said, we're not renewing your contract, and this is your last night. You know, and after all those years and all those miles and hanging with the talent stuff, that's not how I would want it to be. I wouldn't want to have to be rushing around after an event saying bye to guys for the final time. But.
Yeah, it sucks, and it makes things hard. But if we've talked about this before, in the pantheon of ring announcers in history, you're number two behind Howard Finkel. And I would swear on Bibles and say it to anybody that behind Howard Finkel, who in my opinion is the number one all-time great, you're the second best guy. So there's a lot of guys that have spent a lot of years and a lot of time and a lot of miles that are behind you on that list.
Well, yeah, you told me that, I think it was sometime last year. And I thought at first you were busting my balls. But then
no, never. I would never bust your balls.
Fear, so I definitely appreciated that. I've never really looked at things that way. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, Finkel is far and above the greatest pro wrestling ring announcer ever. That's not even up for debate.
Right.
So, but I've never thought of what my place is, basically, after 20 years and you know, 10, 11 years now with Ring of Honor. I've never really thought what my place is. You know, maybe I'll look at it when I'm done.
Yeah, how did you get started 21 years ago? Like, what was your introduction into wrestling as a 21-year-old man?
I always liked, I mean, like all of us, right? We all liked wrestling as a kid.
Absolutely.
So growing up down, you know, 45 minutes south of Boston, it was on Channel 56 every morning from Allentown or wherever they came from. And I always, for some reason, I always, like, gravitated to the production part of things. Like, not only the ring announcing, but the music and all that stuff. So it's just something I wanted to do. And my senior year of high school, up until my senior year, I had played basketball in the winter and baseball in the spring. But baseball was definitely more of my sport. And leading into the winter of my senior year, the girls' basketball coach, actually, he knew I had an interest in announcing because he had been my English teacher my sophomore year. And he had asked me, he's like, listen, we need a PA announcer. Do you want to try it? Do you have any interest in doing it?
Uh-huh.
So at that point, I decided, you know what? I'm not going to play basketball because I would have rode the bench. What fun is that? So let me try and get something going with announcing. So I was able to do that. And then also with cable access turned into some play-by-play stuff too. I was like dueling. I was doing play-by-play and PA for girls basketball. And so then I think around the beginning of 94, I said, all right, let's try and combine my love of wrestling with my interest in announcing. So I sent out a bunch of letters to just different indie companies around New England. And a few of them got back to me, and I ended up hooking up with, at that time, it was called New England Wrestling. It was running in Fall River. They had me go down and do an audition, and that was pretty much it from that point.
Wow. Who was running New England Wrestling back then?
Joe Eugenio.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, Uncle Joe. Yeah. It's amazing how you can just say, like, one name, and people, oh, really?
It's like I hear, and it's like, you know, every carny, you know, thought that you could have about certain people, there's just some names that come up, and that's just the, you know, like Gino Moore in New Jersey. That's one that always, oh, geez, that guy.
Well, Joe Eugenio owned it, but Silvano Souza was his booker at the time.
Right.
So it was like...
That was the guy that broke Steve Bradley in.
Yes. Yeah, well, Steve, I want to say I started with New England Wrestling in April of 94, and I think that fall, I remember Steve's first match with us was in Plymouth, Mass, against a kid named J.J. Crush, who he had trained with together and did this KWF, I think it was called, the Kids Wrestling Federation.
Kids Wrestling.
Yeah, back when they were younger. And when Bradley came in, it's something I had never really seen. The kid just very innovative and very exciting. He took Silvano Souza took Bradley under his wing, and he had a nice little run.
He did. And, of course, I said this to when we were – where were we? Was it Florida? Yeah, when we were in Florida and you were having your fun times there on your own. And I roomed with Todd Sinclair.
Because
Karina was with his family, and you were with your gal. And so Todd and I roomed together, and I said, you know, we're in a pretty lucky spot here in Ring of Honor. I said, because we've got the best referee in the business, and we got the best ring announcer in the business, all working for the company at the same time, in addition to the talent, however you spread them, Adam Cole, Jay Briscoe, Jay Lethal. Let's just take those three. I can't think of three better. So, you know, we're in a pretty good spot in Ring of Honor when it comes to talent that we have.
I agree with you. I think, like I mentioned about Todd earlier, and I've done interviews over the years, and my opinion's never changed. It's just a great referee. It's a sin. I mean, it's great now that we're on 70 stations across the country and whatever it is and doing live pay-per-views, so now he's finally getting some exposure. But up until this point, in the past couple of years, it was a sin that he wasn't seen by a bigger audience because he's so much better than some of the guys that are out there. It's just,
yeah, I know.
But I agree with you. I read the comments on Twitter that, you know, fans are very appreciative and complimentary of your work with Steve. So I think with that part of things, you know, on the announcing side and the referee side, I mean, Paul Turner is a great referee also. I think we do have things pretty well covered.
Yeah, we're definitely in good shape there.
And, you know, I talked about, too, you know, not doing these house shows or whatever. And the thing I have to remember is any fans that watch our TV show on a weekly basis, to them, I do every single show.
Right.
So it's like, I guess that's the frustrating part is I'd rather, you know, I'd like to be on the road with guys more. You know, at least I'm there for the most watched things, I guess, the thing that's seen the most.
Yeah, and I think part of it is that, you know, the house shows are house shows, but we wouldn't trust anybody else but you to do television, to do pay-per-view. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? And I think that's one of the changes with this company, and you could speak to it, because when Kerry owned it, it was one company, and now that Sinclair owns it, it's another company.
Right.
And even though it's been called the same and the title histories have carried through, but really, there were two different companies. How, as somebody that worked for a long time for Kerry and now has worked for Sinclair for, you know, three whatever years, how has it changed? What are some of the differences? What are some of the things that you've noticed?
Well, I think as far as since I've been a Ring of Honor, there's been three basic stages. When Kerry had it.
Yeah.
When Sinclair first had it, and now with Sinclair, basically, you know, they were very smart. There's some things that Sinclair did when they took over that I didn't like. I thought we alienated a lot of longtime fans with some of the things that were done, and I didn't obviously like that. I think the outlook was, well, you know, maybe we'll keep some of the fans that we've had for years, but we're going to gain all these fans because we're on TV in Asheville, North Carolina, or TV here, TV there. Well, to me, what's wrong with keeping all our longtime fans who've been traveling all over the place watching us for years and then having these other people hop on board too? I mean, there's room on the train for everybody. So I think we got a lot of bad publicity at first. You know, the website wasn't handled. Well, I guess the way the website was going to work wasn't handled well. There's a lot of misunderstanding. I remember when we first announced it, said, oh, you know, can watch a TV show on the website for free.
Right.
Then it came out and said, well, we have this Ringside membership at whatever a month. And I remember I was listening to Dave LaGreca and his show on Busted Open on Sirius XM right after this happened. And they were burying it, basically. But they didn't have the right info. So I actually texted him while they were on the air, and I cleared it up, and they did correct it. But there was that was a perfect example to me that it wasn't explained very well how this would work and what the difference would be between a pay and a PASIC and all that stuff. So,
right.
I wish we would have handled that correctly. I think we've come leaps and bounds since then. As far as the difference between Carrie and Sinclair initially, besides that, I don't think, you know, to me, the Ring of Honor has always been about what happens inside the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And really, except for maybe a six-month period where I didn't like the direction things were going, but then again, I'm only a ring announcer, but it was just my opinion, and it seemed that fans didn't like the way it was going either. There really hasn't been that. There's no drop-off. I mean, guys come and go, but the talent is still better than any other. You know, the action in the ring is better than any other action in any company. That's always been a consistent, no matter who owns it and who's on the roster and who's not. So I think that's always something we can hang our hat on. And basically, I think, besides the website thing from when Sinclair first purchased it to today, I think we run things much, much smoother, and especially at TV.
Right.
I mean, you remember that first night in Chicago.
Oh.
I mean, I'm in the ring. Just it seems like 10, 15 minutes. I'm standing there, and I'm holding my microphone, you know, and just waiting. And I'm wanted to say, I'm just pleading for something to happen, music to hit, somebody to come. And it was just so brutal. And you know, I think there were some guys in positions that they were not experienced with, maybe with wrestling and stuff, but those same people, if they're still around, have come leaps and bounds, and it's like it runs flawlessly now. I mean, we do 4 hours, 4 weeks of TV in what, 3.5 hours? A lot.
Yeah, you know, it has come a long way. 163, I think. 163 episodes. Is that where we are now, or are we a little higher? I can't remember, but something
remember.
Like that.
Yeah.
And it's continued to grow. Tell me about Carrie as a boss. He's somebody that I knew. Beforehand a little bit, and I really have grown to appreciate a lot more. I appreciated him when I worked for him for the brief period of time, but now that he's not the owner anymore, Bobby, I just love this guy. Has he always been this great? Was he always this great to work for?
Yeah, he really was, and I was lucky. He took a liking to me. I don't know, you know, like I said, he was the one that made the phone call and said, we want you to do every show no matter where it is. And I said, well, if it becomes available, like I said, within a half hour, he called me back, and they had made the move. So he always took a liking to me. I think, you know, on a professional level, with me, he's always just been all about, I just do my thing, you know. And Gabe used to be the same way. You know, you don't have to worry about the ring announcer. It doesn't matter what show it is, how big it is, how small it is. He's got his thing. And I know Carrie always used to say that's just kind of a relief. It's something that goes unnoticed, I guess, a lot, because you can have some disasters. But that was one thing I always remember in the beginning. It didn't take long that he had that much confidence in me that just they kind of left me alone to do my own thing. But we became friends also. And I'm very picky, Kevin, as you know. You know what I mean? I don't want a lot of friends. So
well, you've alienated just about everyone else, so. You're well on your way.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm picky. So so we became friends. And a lot of times he would travel with Todd Sinclair and I. And we'd sit down, have lunch, and just talk about different things. And a lot of times it wasn't about wrestling. He'd talk about whatever, you know, with you know, concerts he was dealing with and stuff like that. So just a real good, down-to-earth guy who can also be a huge pain in the ass. Just can be a huge pain in the ass because he's so passionate, you know? And I think that's where I rub some people from Sinclair Broadcast Group the wrong way when they first came in, because to me, everyone just does their job. We're all good. And when things don't run so smoothly because some people aren't doing their job, well, unfortunately, I don't have the filter sometimes, and I'm going to say something, and next thing you know, I'm getting, you know, what are you, being an a-hole? You know, and I'm like, no, I just want people to do their jobs, you know. And
right.
That's how Carrie's always been, too. Carrie's just, you know, everyone does their thing. You know, whether it was Gabe the Booker or Adam was the Booker or Delirious, you know, they do that, okay? You do this, do it. You do this, do it. And that's, he has the confidence in guys to do their job, basically. But there was a drawback, too, to us becoming friends. You know, I can remember we were on our way to a show in Toronto. I don't know if the Bucks were there or it was just me, him, and Todd, but Pierce was the booker. I do remember this. And we were having lunch somewhere, and we had a show in Toronto that night, and the next week we were on the road somewhere also. And the advances weren't very good for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, and he says, you know what? Maybe you want to stay home next week. And I'm thinking, okay. Like, just throwing it out there? Is it serious? Whatever. You know, and I remember thinking back on that. I was like, well, if we weren't friends, would he have done that? You know? But
right.
He had been so good to me and taking care of me so well over the years that I didn't put up a fight. But that was actually the beginning of me not being at every Ring of Honor event, because then they would cherry-pick a little bit. Oh, maybe this one's going to be a small house, so maybe we're not going to pay the flight here. And that's kind of where it started there. So,
right.
But like I said, I mean, if I wasn't friends with him, I probably would have said something and made a stink. But like I said, he had been such a good boss, and specifically with me, that I didn't want to go that route. I could tell you a quick story about Carrie. I have a conscience, and I actually felt guilty. Would you like to hear it?
Because this is the first time we've ever known Bobby Cruz to have a conscience or feel guilty.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so I really did, and this wraps into, as well as Carrie treated me, why I felt guilty.
Okay.
So, I think it was September of 06, I got a call from WWE to ask, and they asked me to go out to Oklahoma City and Tulsa to audition, because they had the whole ECW relaunch at the time, so the plan was going to be to have Justin Roberts be the ECW ring announcer and have his own brand, kind of like a promotion, having his own brand, and they were going to put me in Justin's spot as the backup on Raw, doing all the house shows and doing heat and that kind of thing. So so they called me to go do those. And I think that weekend that they had called me was Glory by Honor, whatever it was. I can't remember. And it was Connecticut and then the Manhattan Center the next day. And I'm thinking to myself, I have to go now and tell Carrie what's going on.
Right.
And I just remember, I actually didn't do it on Friday, because Friday turned into a disaster, because something, the building in Connecticut double booked or something, so they put us in a tent outside, and it was a driving rainstorm. It was a real mess. So things, I didn't even have time to talk to him that day, but I think my plan all along, because we'd be in New York early, was to pull him aside and talk to him. And I just remember the feeling in my stomach. I'm like, this is... he's not going to be happy. Like, I don't know. He's not going to yell and scream, but I think he's going to be hurt.
Right.
Because we had become good friends, and he had taken such good care of me with different things and stuff. And I'm like, so that actually bothered me, that I had to pull him into a room, just the two of us, and say, hey, listen, this is what's going on. WWE called. I have to go at least check it out and see what's what and everything. And he actually, you could tell he was a little bit hurt by it personally, but
mm-hmm.
business wise he understood, and he never busted my balls about it again the way it happened or anything like that. So but that was probably in my 10-11 years of Ring of Honor one of the few times that I actually felt guilty about something.
Todd Sinclair has referred to you as a disgusting human being.
You have to just take what Todd says the grain of salt, because he's lived a very sheltered life. You know, he doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have kids. He works. He does all the Ring of Honor shows. He sits at his house and plays games and stuff. So he's had a bit. So for him to say I'm a disgusting human being, I don't know what he is putting that up against. You know what I mean? He doesn't have a lot of experiences of seeing disgusting human beings, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So
he's told me a couple of stories.
Yeah, I know. He told one on Bennett Maria's podcast, which actually was probably one of the greatest ribs I ever did on him. And I give you the short version.
Okay.
Where we were doing a show in St. Louis, and actually my brother was on the trip with us. And so Todd is driving the car. My brother's in the front seat, and I'm in the back. And I had purposely, maybe I am disgusting, because I had purposely let one of my big toenails just get really long, like a couple weeks, right? Because I had this plan all along. Because I to me, this reaction was going to be priceless. So it came down to it, and he's driving along, and I decide I'm going to pull this thing off, and I placed it right on top of the shift. The shift was right in the middle of the console.
So while you're in the car, you're sitting in the back seat.
Yes.
You take off your shoe and your sock. You rip off your
already because it was just so funny.
You rip off your big toenail.
Well, not the whole thing, but
no, of course, the white part.
The piece that shouldn't have gotten that long, basically.
Right.
So I placed it down. The shift was in between the two front seats, and I just placed it right down in the front, and nobody noticed it right away. And Todd will always tell you, I'm the worst. Like I've never played poker because I would lose every time. I have no poker face. When I'm playing a rib on somebody or whatever, I just started laughing. And so I started laughing in the back, and my brother heard it, and he just turned to his left, and he saw it. And he goes, ugh! And so Todd then looks, and he lost. I wish, back then even, this was probably 5 years ago, cell phone videos weren't as big as they were now, or are now. I would have loved to capture that moment on video because he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what it was at first. Just, it's pretty amazing.
It's good stuff. So you weren't always a disgusting human being and the best ring announcer in wrestling. You were a pretty fair baseball player back in the day. That's what Carino tells me anyway.
Yeah, I did. I was pretty good. I don't know how to explain my talent or what to compare it to, because I wasn't like natural, whatever. But I was very smart, a very smart player. So, like Little League, I played shortstop. Then, as I moved up into Babe Ruth and stuff, I moved to second base, which is where I played in high school. Because I don't think I had the arm for shortstop as the throw became longer as I got older. Because I didn't have the natural physical gifts. The only thing I did really have was speed. So I could run around and steal bases like crazy, but I needed to get on base somehow to do that. And so I definitely made the most out of what I had. But so I had some success and played on some really good teams from Little League to Babe Ruth and into high school. I had a very good junior year in high school. A team went to like the South Massachusetts, like South Sectional semifinals or whatever. We were one game away from like a state championship game or something. So I had a really good year. So they made me the one of the two co-captains for my senior year. And Kevin, I'll be honest with you, I wish I didn't even play my senior year.
What happened?
I don't know. I mean, they called it senioritis or something. I was awful. I was absolutely awful. The team wasn't good. We came from one game to win the state championship, or two games to win the state championship the year before, and seniors graduated out, and we still had some talent. We weren't going to be nearly as good as we were my junior year, but oh my God, was I bad! I could not catch pop-ups. I could not field ground balls. It started me off hitting leadoff because of my speed. I couldn't hit anything. So by the third or fourth game in, I was batting ninth because I told the coach, I'm like, just put me down the bottom. I said, I can't do anything. I was so bad. And it was such a letdown because my junior year, as far as we went, like every game we played, front page of the sports section was pictures of me. And it wasn't so much the things I was doing. It was just ironic that I'm tagging somebody out at second base, picture of me. I'm swinging. So it was always pictures. It was almost like my mother worked for the Standard Times.
She's the editor. Mrs. Cruz.
That's how it was. Like, people were asking me, what's going on? Why is every game a picture of you? And I'm like, I don't know. So it made me look like a star. So people are thinking, senior year, big things are coming. Oh, so bad. Cliff Compton loves this story because he's a huge baseball guy.
Right.
And Carino and I had talked about this, and he said, you got to tell Cliff. So I told Cliff about how bad I was my senior year. And I actually hit 238 my senior year. Like, even people who don't know baseball, that's bad.
That's,
you know, 238, yeah. I mean, that's bad. That's, you hit 238 for a season, you should be in the minors, if you're, you know, if you're a major league player. So it's just so bad. I don't even want to talk about it, to be honest with you. I'd rather just forget it. That, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my baseball career ended my junior year.
Yeah, but you know, you still had all those at bats, and you were one game away your junior year. What was your team's record your senior year?
Oh, we missed the tournament, so I think we were one game under 500, like maybe 9-11,
huh?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. It was just the whole thing, you know. And then, I'll never forget too. My senior year, I had like an abscess tooth, right? I didn't even know what it was. All I know is my face had blown up, like someone like put a pump in my cheek and just pumped away. It blew up huge. And it also made me just feel, it's almost like it threw off my balance, like an ear infection. It made me feel, yeah, like I wasn't there, you know?
Well, wait, going back, 238, Justin sends me a note, and it's a good point. 238 is okay if you're a power hitter, Bobby, if you're cranking him out of the park.
No, that's not, but that wasn't me. I was a slap hitter, get me on base with a single, and then I'll steal second and third, and then you get me home, you know?
The Sabre Patricians would love you, Bobby Cruz.
The Sabre Patricians would go crazy,
yes,
for
yes.
Punt.
I would have
He's
been
an on-base
hey,
guy.
Billy Beane would have drafted me. Absolutely. But, so
you had this abscess, too.
Yeah, and I didn't know what it was, and I just felt like I wasn't there. So the coach, you know, I didn't tell him something was wrong. I thought he could have seen my face was blown up, and it wasn't a game, it was a practice. And I'm out of second base, and they're hitting ground balls, and I'm missing everything. And it wasn't because I sucked like I did my senior year. It was the fact that of this tooth was just threw me completely off.
Sound like you had vertigo.
Maybe, you know. And the coach had his high voice, and he starts yelling, "Bobby, what the hell's wrong with you? You're a goddamn captain." And I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'm thinking about it. So then he throws me out in right field, right? He said, just go out in right field. So I'm standing out there. Nothing gets hit to right field in this practice. Nothing. So I am just suffering and suffering. And that just summed up my senior year of baseball. It's got to go down as one of the most, one of the worst memories of my my life. Awful. Junior year.
Well, we've shared a lot of pain and frustration here with you. But I know you're very proud of your girls, and being a dad is super special. And I mean, your girl, what, they play a lot of different sports and they do all kinds of activities. You're always running around with them, aren't you?
Yeah, Sarah, my 15-year-old, she lives with me full time, and she's a sophomore at a very good school here, a private school called Bishop Stang. And the reason she decided to go there is last year they decided to put a girls' hockey team in, and ice hockey. And she's been playing hockey for years, probably since 15 now, probably since she was like 6 or 7, all different levels, and has done very, very well with it. And last year being the first year, kind of like an expansion team, you know, I thought they'd win 0 or 1 games, and I think they won 4 or 5. They actually did much better than I thought, and she was on the first line, she was center in the first line, really depended on and stuff, so... that's getting ready to get going here right after Thanksgiving again, her sophomore year. So looking for big, big things there, hopefully. Hopefully it just continues for the next few years and she gets a ride somewhere so I don't have to, you know, by that time Ring of Honor would definitely have gotten rid of me. So I won't be able to afford a good school.
No. So it's just so funny, Bob, how you're like just so fatalistic about everything. You know what I mean? I want you to be, I don't know, maybe, but you're different than me, because I have like a positive attitude. I always think everything's going to work out. And you kind of have like the opposite side, like, it probably won't work out. But if it does, it'll be okay. But it probably won't work out.
Yeah, I told you. I walk in and out of every Ring of Honor arena wondering if it's the last time I'm going to walk in or out of a Ring of Honor arena. And it's been like that for a while. You know, I mean, I could be totally off base with that. I have no idea. You know, I've never asked, hey, am I hanging by a thread here? But, you know, I mean, I guess, yeah. I don't think there's anyone around the company right now that you would have confidence to put in the ring at 8 o'clock on December 7th, but which is a good thing for me. You know, let's keep it that way.
Yeah,
but, so I do have a little value there with some experience. But I don't know. I don't think I'm pessimistic or negative. I'm just kind of cautious. You know?
Right.
I'm preparing myself for something bad. See, my senior year of baseball wouldn't have hurt as much if I would have done that leading into it.
If you would have had the right mindset and been...
Yeah, that, hey, Bobby, you could really suck this year, you know, but hopefully you won't. But if you do, see, it would have been like I cushioned the blow a lot more.
Who, you know, there's three standout guys that I think of with Ring of Honor in terms of world champions in the past. And that I didn't have the pleasure or privilege of calling their matches or working with, and just kind of wanted to, you know, sort of bounce their names off of you and Bryan Danielson, Samoa Joe, and CM Punk. As far as guys and what you saw from being able to see so many of their matches at ringside, what were some of the things that kind of set them apart from everybody else?
Ooh. Good question. See, a lot of times I've done interviews and they ask the same question. What's your favorite Ring of Honor match? Or what's this? And it's like, you know what? After so many years, I can't pick one or even five. But see, Kevin, that's why you're such a professional. That's a deeper question. Definitely the kind of unspoken connection they had with the crowd, especially back in those days, the old Ring of Honor fans that lived in New York but would still get out to Dayton, Ohio for shows consistently. You would see the same, you know, 15, 20 fans at every show, didn't matter where we were. And so those guys, you know, they basically, I'm generalizing here, but they basically built the company. And so they were all very special in their own way. I mean, Joe, I had actually seen in Carino's PWF when I first started announcing there, before I had ever seen a Ring of Honor event. And Joe, to me, was like early stage UFC, like very just ground attack, submission type stuff. And I'm like, this is boring as hell. Like, really? This is real, what is the big deal here? And then I saw him in Ring of Honor, and I saw the real Joe. Like, he had evolved a little bit, and he was doing things that nobody his size should have been doing, or should have been able to do. And he was one of the most entertaining people I've ever seen in a Ring of Honor ring. So, you know, they were all different. They all had great matches with each other too. So those are great three guys to bring up and compare. Obviously, Punk was the most outspoken, both wrestling wise and in reality. Out of the three,
was he
of those
difficult?
Guys.
Was he difficult with you or?
No,
with other people?
No, you know what? He was never difficult with me, but he's Punk, and he would, I'm sure if we had him on the phone now, would admit he's a moody guy. Right? I mean, I don't know if he still is, but he always was, you know, and he and I, man, we should have been roommates now that I think back on it. I mean, that would have been perfect.
A lot in common with CM Punk.
Yes. Well, you know, funny, not to jump off to a different name, but Claudio Castagnoli used to, we got along really well in his time with Ring of Honor, and he used to laugh and say to me, he's like, Bobby, you are the most fun, miserable person I've ever met in my life.
That's the perfect description.
And, yeah, that's a compliment, right?
Yeah, sure it is.
He used to love it. He used to love my outlook on things sometimes, and which is what you're commenting on also. But you know, those three guys, I mean, icons. Sometimes the word icon or legend gets overused. They're definitely icons and legends in a Ring of Honor. There's no doubt about that. So, I thought about it. See, this is why I'm thinking my time is coming to an end soon, because I've been reflecting a lot more lately.
It's like you're laying on your deathbed. Stop.
Yeah,
you're depressing.
I haven't done this for a while, but I've been reflecting, and I'm like, you know, I've been sitting like where you sit now. You know, I was sitting there that close to the ring during the heyday of Punk and Joe and who's the other one you said?
Danielson.
I know. Danielson.
You're something else.
You know, just sitting there like that close to this iconic, legendary matches in not only Ring of Honor history, but in the past 20 years, wrestling history. I mean, some of these 60-minute draws they had and stuff just still get talked about. I almost just said get talking about. Can you imagine
Yeah,
that?
I know. I believe it.
I hate that Dale Arnold would have been texting me about that. Yes, still get talked about. Just great stuff, obviously. Great stuff.
And I know that the company has changed, and one of the things, because I don't have that perspective, I came from the outside and came in 2010, and it was already on television with HDNet.
After you were hermaphrodite.
Yes, post-hermaphrodite. Yes. I came in. I went to the doctor, Bobby. They made sure everything was fixed. I had told Rock on a number of occasions, no, I don't have two equally working sets of genitalia. He never seemed to, you know, get that clearly understood. So I went to the doctor just to reconfirm my own beliefs. And yes, I was right. I never had two equally working sets of genitalia. The Rock was incorrect. It's the only thing he's ever gotten wrong in his career. The rest he's been 100% on. But, you know, it's funny, the changes that happen over time, and it is sort of like, and I understand like where, I kind of understand where you come from, because you think you only have so much time on earth, let's just say. You think you only have so much time in anything. And a lot of time has gone by. You've been with the company 10 years and it's had different ownership and there's been different bookers in charge. But, I mean, you've been a constant. You've been consistent as part of the sound of the company through all of those great matches, on through the HDNet era, into the iPay-per-view realm, now on television, on all these television stations, and live traditional pay-per-view.
Right.
So it's easy to understand why you think you're on death's door. You've been around for a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, though.
I do take pride in all that stuff that I have, I don't want to say survived, but I've been retained through all the changes, whether it's bookers or whatever. I mean, we've had how many bookers since I've been here? I don't like to count one. So Gabe, Adam, and Delirious, right? Three, I guess, in the 10 years, 11 years. And all of them have all been awesome with me. Like I said, they don't bother me. They let me do my thing. You know, Delirious knows I could probably show up, and I wouldn't do this. If it's doing TV at 7:30, probably show up at 7 o'clock, and no one would know that I showed up at 7 o'clock because we wouldn't miss a beat as a broadcast team or an announcing
right.
team. You know what I mean? All the timing and the cues would all flow because we've been doing it for so long together and stuff. But I look at it also this way, Kevin. You know, if you look all around, I mean, a perfect example is WWE now that Justin's gone, and their two shows have female ring announcers. And you look at sideline reporters for the NFL, you know, 80-90% of them are female. You look at other sports, it's the same thing. And it's a trend. It's not a trend that I understand the trend and why. It's not a trend I necessarily agree with. As far as WWE goes, I really think, no matter who it is, they need a male announcer. I don't watch their shows. I don't watch the pay-per-views. But I couldn't imagine sitting through a three-hour pay-per-view with just female ring announcers. And I know it's probably an anal thing on my part because I would pay attention to that more than the average person. But to me, it just wouldn't sound right. And you know, I just, it's in the back of my head. It's, you know, and I read a quote that Justin had said a while ago before he got released, basically saying, you know, I could be replaced by eye candy any day. And basically that's what happened. And so it's a scary thing. It's definitely a scary thing. It's not something, you know, I'm thrilled with. I mean, you look at the three top companies of pro wrestling in the United States right now between WWE, us, and TNA, okay, and you look at, say, four shows, the two, you know, Raw and SmackDown, Impact, and our show. Three of the four have female ring announcers. So I'm the only one that's, like, hanging on. So I'm wondering if one day it just happens, you know?
Well, if it just happens, right. I think the idea... Well, first of all, I think TNA does whatever WWE does.
Right.
So if, you know, the fact that they have female ring announcers, well, that means TNA has to have them. And WWE doesn't want to be wrestling, so they want to be entertainment, so they think they need to have a beautiful woman there. Nobody watches wrestling. Like you said, the ring announcer never sells one ticket.
No.
But it is the garnish. It is the spice. It is the seasoning in the meal. It's what makes the experience everything. So that when the takeaway comes and you remember a signature sound, there are no kids at home that are pretending to be wrestling now that are pretending to be Lillian Garcia or Christy Hemme or whoever else the other ring announcer is they have in WWE. Nobody is pretending to be them. But
right.
There were kids that pretended to be Howard Finkel. There have been kids
absolutely.
That have pretended to be Bobby Cruz. And I think they will continue to do so because that's what wrestling is. That's how it works.
You know, and it kind of goes back to the, you know, right as I had finished up with WWE and they called me to go back for a second week a month later back in 06. And thank God. You know, people always say, oh, too bad you didn't end up in WWE.
Yeah, what happened? How did you blow that?
Well, I'll tell you a story because my reaction is no, thank God. You know, they say timing is everything. So, first of all, Kevin Dunn liked me the first time more than he liked me the second time. When I went out the second time, I toned it down a lot. I didn't want to stand out as much. I thought I tried to stand out too much just because you want to make an impact. It's almost like a guy wrestling a tryout in a dark match. You know, you're not supposed to do certain things, but, hey, let them see what I can do. You know, so it's kind of that fine line you have to walk. But I should have stayed with what I had done the first two, so they called me back to come back because, you know, I had compliments. You know, Cena pulled me aside and said, wow, you were really great last night. Heyman did. Vince was very, very complimentary, shook my hand, but his quote was, Bobby, you did a great job, but next time try not to be so Howard Finkelish.
Right.
And I told Howard that story when I talked to him a year and a half ago, and he kind of laughed. And I said, but that's hard because, you know, you've watched that guy, the main guy, for years, and now you're standing in that ring holding that microphone, and you're a guy. It's almost like you really have to try not to be sounding like him, you know? So I'd done, went back out again for Raw and SmackDown, which was Chicago and St. Louis. And then I flew home on Wednesday, and then I had to go back out to Dayton, Chicago for Ring of Honor on Friday and Saturday. I flew back home on Sunday, and I read that the ECW house shows were just drawing garbage, like 600-700 people.
Yeah.
And I read basically that they said they were going to scrap the standalone shows and combine them with SmackDown. And I knew right then I was done because they didn't. Now they went from having three brands on the road needing three ring announcers on a particular weekend. Now they have three brands but two shows and only needing two ring announcers. So I knew I was done at that point. And sure enough, I got a call the next day. And a quote from Jen Good from Kevin Dunn's office was, our need for an additional ring announcer just greatly diminished. And I said, yeah, I read about it yesterday. So, but my thing was, you know, what if that didn't happen? What if that happened 2 months later and I signed a deal with them and I left Ring of Honor, but more importantly, I left my real job.
Right.
And then they scrapped the ECW shows and they released me because they didn't need me anymore. Then where am I? And where am I with my kids? So I definitely was preferred that it went down the way it did where it was fine, you know?
It all worked out.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to that, it's so funny too because probably for a year or so, after that, I still stayed in contact with Jen Good at WWE, and I think I had done another tour of Japan or whatever, so I sent her the footage of me announcing in there, and she called me, and she said, oh, Kevin, you know, Kevin watched it, he liked it and everything, but she said, to be honest with you, the next ring announcer we hire is probably going to be a hot chick. I mean, that's exactly what she said to me, which when you look at it, it's kind of like reverse sexism, you know?
Right.
And I remember they went on a streak of the most god-awful garbage female ring announcers there for a while. And it just it's almost like, all right, she's a quote-unquote hot chick. Let's stick a WWE microphone in her hand and put her in the ring and see what happens. And maybe we'll catch lightning in the bottle. And they were so god-awful. And I remember sitting home frustrated, like, really? This is what you want to do? Okay, that's fine. Well, I mean, I can't do anything to change it, but and now you fast forward 8 years later, and their ring announcing is dominated by females. So
right, and again, it's the same.
Hey, they showed by the way, the Bruins are getting their asses handed to them as we're talking right now.
What the hell's going on with them?
Oh, I don't know. They beat Toronto last time in Toronto, so Toronto's pissed off, and Toronto's definitely taking out on them. But why I'm bringing that up to you is they just showed the Mattamy Athletic Center.
Hey, that's where we were.
Yes, they did. They just showed an inside view of the Mattamy Athletic Center, which is what we know the home in the winter and the fall of Ring of Honor in
Toronto.
That's
right. The former Maple Leaf Gardens, it's been converted. Got a lot of great history there. What are some... Give me your favorite, your three favorite towns to visit when we're on the road with Ring of Honor. Your three most favorite locales. Go.
New York City. Funny, I had never been to New York City until I started announcing for Ring of Honor in New York City.
Really?
Like, I had been to Tokyo before and Osaka before I had been to New York City, which doesn't make any sense because it's a 3.5-hour drive from where I am. But I remember when we were running the New Yorker Hotel. Right next to the Manhattan Center. That's where the big Joe versus Kobashi match happened. And I remember finding out we're running New York City, and I was so excited I was finally going to see New York City. So New York City, you know, it has that whole vibe and the whole buzz, and, you know, the fan base is very rabid and stuff. So that's another reason I'm looking forward to Final Battle live on pay-per-view on December 7th at 8 o'clock Eastern.
There you go.
I always love Chicago. Chicago fans, you know, I talked about this with Todd Sinclair, just to go off on the side here a little bit. We talk about, we go to all these places, but we really don't see these places.
Right.
You know, so I can say, hey, and I go, but could anything from the building at the Ridge, the great guy there, please don't ask me his name, I'll forget it, but...
what's his name?
Seen him for years and years, you know the bald guy. Seen him for years and years.
His name's Kevin.
They're always great. What's that? Kevin, yes.
In Chicago.
Yes. See? Right. All right. I'm bad with names. You never would think I could be a ring announcer without using cue cards because I'm so bad with names. I'm faces, I'm great. Names, I'm terrible. So
I'm a ring announcer and I'm bad with names.
Yes, I am. I'm terrible remembering people's names.
Co-captain of the baseball team, you hit .238.
Oh, you bet.
It just all fits right in.
Toronto is another one that's right there. Toronto, to me, is like the Canadian New York City. Just got that vibe to it, that feel to it. And that is the cleanest major city I've ever seen in my life.
Agreed.
Except when they had the trash strike. Were you there?
No.
I
heard that story, though. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. So we were running at the Ted Reeve Arena, and there had been probably a 2 or 3 week by this point strike by the sanitation workers, I guess would be the proper way to say it. And so the outside and the baseball field and the grass, basically, the Ted Reeve Arena was one of the dumping sites to bring the residents of Toronto could bring their garbage. And oh my God, I'd never seen anything like that before. It was brutal. I mean, Cabana wrestled somebody that night. He brought some garbage in and was using it in his match. Which I thought was weird because you didn't know what was in those bags. But it was, but other than that, it's the cleanest major city I've ever seen. So.
And that's where you get your chips. You have an addiction to Ruffles, a particular brand of Ruffles chips, right?
Assinase. I hope I'm saying it right. Assinase. I hope I'm saying it right, which translates in American, I think, because they put it on the English on the label too, is All Dressed. That's the name of these chips, and you can't get them in the U.S., they're only in Canada. So there's been a few times where I will, you know, bring my suit bag on a flight up to Canada, and then I also will just bring a small, empty suitcase. Like, if you picked it up, there's nothing in here. No, because there's nothing in there, because on the way back, this is going to be filled with chips. So I've done that a few times. But for the most part, you know, some of the boys, you know, you've tried them, they say, all right, let me see why you love these. And the reviews are pretty good. They're good chips.
They are good.
Matter of fact, I have one bag left from our last trip to Toronto. I have one bag left. that I'm probably going to dip into this weekend for a big Patriots game Sunday night.
You've got to hold out until May. So
I know, that's the bad part. Like, and I've made it clear, like I put it on Facebook and stuff, I would think one of our Canadian fans maybe would say, Bobby, I'll send you some, you know, UPS it or whatever, but nobody has. So maybe someone hearing this will get me some, because there's no way I can go till May. That's just,
well, we have no audience and the microphones aren't even plugged in, so it's all right. Don't worry about it, but we'll do our best. We'll try to get you. No, I'm kidding. We have a good audience. It's growing. It grows. What I didn't know about podcasting when I started, I was like, what's the numbers? And Justin told me, and I was like, oh, that's all. He said, yeah, but it grows over time because people go back in the archives and they re-listen. So
and
like
we've been talking for a long time. So
we're on almost an hour we've been doing here with you.
I don't want to lose people because I like to talk. I told you this.
I know. You said, oh, I'm in a good, I want to talk. Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah, so, I want to talk, you know. And I haven't even really said anything bad about any one person either.
Well, who's the one person that you hate more than anybody else in this world?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, this is a horrible thing to say because it's I don't know if I should.
See, I think you should. I mean, it's...
This might make me come off as like a bad person because I'm going to say two people.
Oh.
And one of them is my ex-wife, which is a natural thing to say. And it's bad to say because she's given me my daughters, but she's just been such a vile, bad person over the years. You know, and it's part of the reason, or major reason, why Sarah, my 15-year-old, for the past 13 months has lived with me full-time. And the other one is my father. He's just a horrible person, too.
Really?
Yeah, just horrible. He's so brutal. My mother battled depression when I was growing up, and he was just brutal with her. And did a lot of underhanded things and stuff, too. You know, nothing like physically abusive or anything, but just not a good person, whatever. So, and I think, you know what, that is a major reason why, I'm not saying I'm a great father or I'm a good father or whatever, but I think it's a major reason why I am the father I am is because I didn't want to replicate that. So I really have concentrated from the day Sarah was born and then Kenna was born a few years later, to do the best I could to not be that person that I grew up with.
So. Well, I think Bobby, that from the little bit that I have seen with you with your girls, every time I've seen you together, and the things that I've read on Facebook or whatever, you just constantly are with them and doing stuff with them and taking them to practices and games and sharing experiences and concerts and good times. I mean, if that isn't a good dad, I mean, just showing up, you get credit for just showing up and just being there and just treating them good.
It's
really,
like
that's...
They say the SAT, right? You write your name and you get 500 points or something.
Exactly. That was how I got through. But
you and I have a lot of similarities. Not our outlook, obviously. But,
no.
You know, as far as, you know, now we have real jobs and we take pride in what we do. You with a headset on and me holding a microphone and that thing, and also the family thing and the kids is all, you know, very important. The one major difference is you have a wife you love to death and I don't anymore. But
you had a wife that you would love to see dead.
I can't say that. But other than that, we're pretty similar. So, and you know, it's I'm surprised you haven't brought this up because you led off with the voice of Ring of Honor thing. But I think our relationship has evolved greatly over the past few years.
Well, yeah, I was going to get to that, and we kind of got sidetracked because you hated my guts when I first started there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I don't understand why.
You know, I don't think it was so much you, and I had this conversation with you. It was more the way things were done. When Adam Pearce was the booker, I was booking dark matches at HDNet tapings and the extra talent and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And when Adam was let go by Carrie, I think the next week we had TV for HDNet in Philly. Like, I think it was within a week. And, you know, Delirious was the booker. And Cornette had really stepped up his involvement now also with that change. You can hear the excitement in my voice. And, and so next thing I know, you're doing the things I had been doing. Now, looking at it, it was a good change because you had the experience of dealing, you know, doing that stuff developmentally with WWE and everything. I was never really asked to You took it to another level. You took it to a better level. I wasn't asked to do that stuff. I was basically asked to round guys up that were there and, you know, throw stuff together as far as doc matches or whatever that so we could test equipment. You took it beyond that to a much better place. And
And what we learned in the course of our conversation was that I was given a little bit of misinformation because I had said, hey, Jim, I'd like to do some other things. And, in addition to helping out, because at the time there really wasn't an announcing spot, but I was like, well, if I'm going to come down there, let me at least help. And I don't think Jim really knew that you were doing this. It was like,
right. Well,
how about if I book like extras? There's a lot of guys that you guys should be taking a look at because I kind of knew, you know, different guys in the indie scene. Yeah, sure. That sounds great. And Jim was just looking for anything to kind of get me in. So then here's you and I both kind of doing the same job unbeknownst to one another. So,
right.
but you got mad. You got mad at me.
No. It's not fair because I didn't know you really. You know what I mean? So,
right. It's not fair that you got mad.
So no, it's not fair that I got mad. And then I really got mad at Cornette. Like, so we had a house show, I think, in Charlotte after that. And I had been giving Cornette the cold shoulder all day because I just didn't want to deal with it. I thought it was just bogus. That no, you know, do what you want, but talk to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he pulled me aside after the show. You've been giving me the cold shoulder all day. And I'm like, well, this is, to be honest with you, this is BS the way this was handled and whatever. So then he starts, you know, and now this is where I went wrong with him because, God forbid, lowly ring announcer Bobby Cruz calls out a guy with the credentials of Jim Cornette, you know. So he starts now, well, you know, Bobby, I got to tell you, I'm starting to get pretty hot, you know. And I'm like, I'm just talking to you. You're asking me what my issue was. I'm telling you, and now you're telling me you're getting hot. And he goes into the whole, all right, well, I think you're the best ring announcer in the indies. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Ring of Honor is not an indie. And then he followed it up by saying, and you're the best ring announcer for this company, but, you know, that's all you're going to do from this point on. And I wanted to say, I just let it go. Well, you should have told me that in Philly. And
yeah.
I wouldn't have an attitude and be pissed off, you know. So it's fine. Everything worked out. You know, I was able to get a few people some looks that I thought was – it looks like even when Gabe was the booker, we would come to Boston at BU or whatever. He would ask me, do you recommend anybody? And I remember Bennett was one of the first people that I actually got a look. Gabe liked him from the beginning. And again, he used him again, like in a doc match, and Gabe liked him. And I remember Gabe telling me straight out, he's like, I like him a lot. I want to use him, but WWE's going to take him. He's like, I can't have that. I can't, you know, get this guy into the fold for 6 months or whatever, and then he goes to WWE. So that's why Gabe never really used Bennett, because he liked him back in the day.
Right.
It just never developed because he thought he was going to WWE.
And then you really hated my guts over the whole thing with the movie The Wrestler.
Oh, my God. Here's another one. This is like, all right. I don't know what the timing of this was. I don't know if it was right around the same time this was all going down. But I taped the ring announcement of the main event with the Ram and the Ayatollah in Dover, New Jersey, right? Dover, New Jersey, I think it was. Some arena. Over two nights. I must have announced that match 15 times. So did that, and then a few weeks later, Sid, from who was with the Ring of Honor office, Carrie's right-hand man basically at the time, called me. He's like, hey, the guys from the movie are trying to get in touch with you. Can I give them your number? And I'm like, sure. So they called me within an hour. Hey, we need you to come down to New York City and do the voiceovers. We can't find the audio track of your intros. But Sid had told me, listen, don't go down there for nothing. Get some money out of them. So I said, they talked to me but didn't offer any money. I said, you going to give me anything to go down there? So I said, I think I said like $250 or something. So then they called me a few days later and they canceled me. Oh, we found it. Okay, great. So leading up to the premiere, because I Carrie, I think through Carrie, got invited to the premiere at Lincoln Center. That's part mm-hmm. of the New York Film Festival, maybe, something like that. It was like the main event of the New York Film Festival on a Sunday night, I think. And so I saw on IMDb all the credits, and it said ROH announcer, Kevin Foote. I'm like, who the F is Kevin Foote? I'm like, are you serious? So now I'm watching this movie, right? And all it's in the whole time I'm watching, I'm sitting there with Carrie, a friend of his, and my girlfriend at the time, Amy. And I'm sitting there, and in the back of my mind watching this whole 90-minute movie or whatever it was, is these credits roll, it better say Bobby Cruz, ROH announcer, I'm going to lose my shit. So, credits roll, Kevin Foote. I am livid. So they had like a little, you know, gathering in the lobby of Lincoln Center afterwards. I went and found like the associate producer or something that I
had
met. Oh yeah, of the shooting. And I say, listen, man, it's not a huge deal, but I said I'm never going to be in another movie again. It says a different name under ROH announcer. So he's like, you know, and man, Aronofsky actually emailed me a couple days later and apologized up and down. And he said, hey, you had done some voice work, and they got confused or whatever. So, I wanted to.
But it was my voice in the film, not yours.
No. No. Your voice is in the beginning, right?
Yeah, but I did all the ring announcing, too.
No. Oh, my God. Now we're going to fight. If you watch the main event, it's my announcement.
Mm-hmm. I think I did it.
Fair to you. I promise you on my Ring of Honor career.
All right. I believe you. I just laughed how I got paid and got, you know, brought down there and everything like that, and was supposed to do the whole and I guess they were struggling with trying to find the clips because they had me redo it. And okay. But they obviously found it.
Yeah, and that's what happened, I think, because then they called me back and said, oh, we found it.
Yeah.
So if when I watch the movie, you hear me introducing them as I did in the arena, but it's in the background. They didn't take the audio track that they made me do separately. They didn't take that. They just have it in the background or whatever. And that's another thing. So I got like, I don't know what to say, $250 or $300 for those 2 days total.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be like $700 a day.
Maybe. Damn.
I want to say, because so I asked what happened. Oh, this is great. Well, it would be $700 a day, whatever the number was, if you were on screen and seen talking at the same time. But you hear your voice in the background, and when we show you standing in the ring, you're not announcing.
Huh.
I'm like, you know what? That's fine. The whole thing was a disaster.
What a mess.
I got thrown
huh?
into it 20 minutes before. Larry Sweeney, right, our late friend, was supposed to be the ring announcer. Do you know the story?
No. We only have like 2 minutes left.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'll tell you real quick. Larry Sweeney was supposed to be the ring announcer for the movie. He went out, got this white suit, crazy look or whatever. 10-15 minutes before we go out to do this, and it was part of a Ring of Honor event, Gabe went up to Aronofsky. You can't use him. You can't have him be the ring announcer. He's a heel manager. It's not going to work. So within like 5-10 minutes, they handed me the script of the announcement. And
oh, my gosh.
Out. And I felt so bad for Sweeney that night. He was so heartbroken.
Sure. So, absolutely. Yeah.
But you
listen,
would have stolen that credit, too, so that's all right.
I would have been a ring announcer in white suit.
Hey,
I'm glad you came on. And we could, and this is what we do. And I started the show tonight by talking. I said, you know, that we hang out and we're all friends and we share laughs. And that's what we did here for the past 72 minutes.
Yeah. As much as I didn't like you in the beginning, I actually truly do love you now. And we have a lot of fun at ringside and at TV. And I get to hear you and Steve in my ear for 4 hours or 3.5 hours every TV. It's great stuff.
Torture. I'm sure it's torture for you.
Sometimes. But yeah, listen. I like when he makes a crack and he looks at me to see if I pop.
Right. That's the thing. You're kind of our barometer for whether or not a joke is funny or not. But I'm sincere in saying this, that I genuinely have I love you as a person, and I'm proud of you as a dad. and I think you're the best ring announcer in the business. And if I have anything to do about it, you're going to be announcing Ring of Honor until you're 107. So there you go.
Get a lot of power real quick for me then.
I need to start. Okay. Hey, listen, Bobby, thanks so much. And we'll see you. Where will we see you next? It will be Baltimore on the 22nd.
Yeah, and then, TV.
Yep, TV, November 22nd, Baltimore Myers Pavilion. And then final battle, Sunday, December 7th, live on pay-per-view. That's our pal, Bobby Cruz. Thanks for
and
your time, my
let
friend.
Let me get to at least Vegas because I want to go see Jersey Boys again.
All right, we'll do that for sure. All right, that's Bobby Cruz, and we got to take a quick timeout. We'll be back with more of the Kevin Kelly Show after this.
I see the red breast between her lips, but I'm staring at her tits. It's the wrong way.
The king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
Get real with the fever on the dance floor.
All right, we're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation and placetobenation.com. And our next guest, boy, what a weekend this is going to be. Saturday night, San Antonio, Texas at the Shrine Auditorium. Not only is ACH challenging Jay Briscoe for the Ring of Honor World Championship, but my guest at this time is putting his streak on the line against the television title of Jay Lethal, R.D. Evans. It is a pleasure to have you on the Kevin Kelly Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks for having me, Kevin. And it's Papa Bear, R.D. Evans.
When you get back down to Texas, it's definitely Papa Bear. Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you? We're a little bit of ways away, just a few hours away before the match. You've wrestled everywhere across the globe against some big opponents in some big venues. But in terms of like nerves. Are you more nervous for this Saturday than other matches, or is this just another one that you've got coming down the pike?
Well, I don't know that nervous is the word. There is a nervousness, but it's kind of an excited nervousness. It's that feeling when you know you're about to test yourself. I think with a lot of these other matches, you know, I walked into a match with Dennis Rodman. I mean, this guy's world-renowned, and it was in North Korea. If I defeated Dennis Rodman on his home turf in North Korea, I could be in some big trouble. So, yeah, I was nervous for that, but that was the type of nervous where I was worried I was going to lose my head. This is, like I said, the type of nervous where I know I'm about to step into the ring with the best professional wrestler on the planet, and I'm going to find out where I rank. I'm going to find out what kind of professional wrestler I am.
Were you... RD, were you surprised at how the new streak has kind of taken off with a kind of a pop culture, almost a yes, yes, yes kind of thing? It really seemed to have legs of its own. Did its popularity, has it surprised you?
sure it's the hula hoop of the teens, a lot of people are saying. You know, I'm not entirely surprised. Going back to your last question and then weaving it right on into this answer, I think at first I wasn't so nervous because when I was facing people, it was just another match. And I've been wrestling for 14 years now, so I wasn't any more or less nervous than I was in any of the matches in the preceding 14 years. And yet, the longer it went, the more was on the line because, you know, if I'm on a 3-match winning streak and I lose, well, I can start right over. When you're 100 matches in, if you lose, that streak is over. And I don't think history is going to remember a 100 wins winning streak when the benchmark is 173-0. So getting back to the question you just asked me, I think I always knew that if fans really got a chance to see who I am and what I do, that I would take off, that I would be Papa Bear, and I'd have all of my adoring street freaks, my little cubbies all around the world chanting my name. But I guess I didn't know how and when that was going to happen. And as those wins started to rack up, I began to realize this is it. This is my moment. This winning streak is how I am going to show the world who I am.
So as you've traveled the world, I mean, there's stories, of course, about, you know, like the Roppongi section in Tokyo. I mean, where are the hottest women in the world, RD? These are the questions that the people want to know. All your global travels.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, you don't win this many matches without having a singular focus, without having an almost obsessive desire to do one thing and one thing alone, that's win. And so, I gotta be honest, I'm not the type of man to look around at, things of that nature.
Has it been a vow of, has this been like a vow of celibacy throughout this streak?
My life is in many ways a vow of celibacy. But I think, yes, particularly, during this winning streak, I have really honed in on that.
Well, because, you know, like Mickey said to Rocky, women weaken legs, so we can't have that.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, okay. Hey, let me ask you another question. The young man that holds the signs outside the ring.
Ramon!
Ramon, yeah. Ramon is his name. Is that what, is that the story you're sticking with? I've never gotten
Ramon's
a clear
been
answer.
In my service for years. Yeah, no, Ramon initially was hired to work on my yacht, and he's just been in my service ever since. I've always called him Ramon. I would think that after years and years of working for me, if his name wasn't Ramon, he would have corrected me. And to be honest, I take a bit of aversion to you and Steve Carino always implying that that's not his name. I've spoken to Ramon about it before. I said, Ramon, is your name Ramon? And, you know, before he could even answer, the answer was just obvious from his face. He looked at me like, come on, RD. Do you think that my name isn't Ramon? You just called me Ramon, and I responded to Ramon, so I didn't even need to hear an answer. It was apparent.
The look in his eye said it all. Well, we certainly apologize if we offended you at all. But, you know, certainly adding to the streak and the win total, RD, has been some tag team wins of late with Moose.
Right.
Moose coming from the NFL and getting into professional wrestling. How do you think he's made in that transition? Now, he didn't just step off the gridiron and into Ring of Honor. He'd been training for a while and stuff, but I mean, it's gotta be hard for a football player to get into wrestling. And how do you think he's done?
I think, the biggest challenge for people who transition into professional wrestling from another sport is unlearning some of the instincts that they learned in their previous sport. Wrestling is a unique competition, and Moose came into Ring of Honor with some of the proper instincts that he did learn in the NFL, like we spoke about, the fact that he understood how to be a team player, the fact that he understood how to take direction actually worked to his benefit. However, much of my direction has been, aside from that, you need to unlearn what you know. And he's been a great student, to be honest. I mean, I have to be able to trust Moose when we're in the ring together in a tag team match, because if he gets pinned, my streak ends. And I wouldn't just put that trust in anyone. I put that trust in Moose because he really is a great student. He listens to everything I say. He is such a studious pupil. I have the utmost respect and admiration for Moose. And I think that one day, especially with my guidance, he's going to be a huge star.
Well, I know Moose has all the potential in the world, and Jimmy Jacobs trying to get him into the decade now. When Jimmy, I want to get your thoughts on this, because I think you have a great pulse on the locker room in Ring of Honor. As Jacobs, sure. Jacobs was going along and was recruiting some young boys to be on his side, to be with the decade. You were very noncommittal in that regard. What were your thoughts about the decade and the way they approach things and sort of young boys like, Adam Page and Tadarius for a while, kind of leaving what they were doing to side with the decade? What did you think about all that?
Well, I agree with them up to a point. I really do think that some of these young greenhorns, like the Adam Pages and the Mooses of the world, do need some guidance. The decade, from what I've seen, has been a little heavy-handed. Again, my focus has been so singular with the new streak. I don't want to comment too much on it because it's not something I'm up to speed on as well as I should be. Other than to say this, when we were in Columbus and Toledo, Jimmy Jacobs made a few overtures to Moose and talked about the prospect of him joining up with the decade as one of their young boys. And I don't think he was sincere. I hope he wasn't sincere, but I don't think he was. I think he was trying to get into Moose's mind. I think he was trying to unnerve Moose going into the tag team match because he was probably terrified. Look at Moose. Moose is a giant guy. If he could create dissension between Moose and I, then perhaps he'd be able to exploit a weakness and they'd be able to pick up the win. They'd be able to end the streak. But lo and behold, they didn't, did they?
No, they didn't. The streak continues. Right. Is it now 170? What is the exact count? I want to make sure.
It's 173-0 after our victory over Jimmy Jacobs and BJ Whitmer, which, finishing up what I was saying, is a testament, I think, to the unity between Moose and I. I think we're as good as any tag team in Ring of Honor right now. But, yeah, it's 173-0, which, for those wrestling historians out there, that is tying the old streak. So I'm going into San Antonio tied with the one and only Goldberg.
God, so the match Saturday not only is for the television title,
right?
But when you win, you will now not only be the television champion, but you will own the longest winning streak in professional wrestling history. That's a lot of pressure. Holy crap.
Absolutely. It's the difference between me being remembered by wrestling history and possibly being forgotten entirely. I mean, Jay Lethal has been in the ring with the absolute best professional wrestlers. I could name the laundry list, but you know it. Everyone knows it. Jay Lethal has been in there with everyone, and he's beaten almost all of them. If I'm able to beat the guy who's walked in the ring with those guys and defeated them, and if I'm able to set the all-time greatest wrestling winning streak, I can't be denied a place in history. I cannot I mean, that is my legacy, and I can't impress upon you enough how often that's on my mind, how important that is. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I can't go back to sleep because the second I'm up, my mind starts racing.
It's a, it's quite a time in your life right now, and I'm glad you're able to give us a few minutes here as the preparation is underway. Saturday night at the Shrine Auditorium at Glory by Honor, part of the just incredible card that Ring of Honor is presenting. R.D. Evans challenging Jay Lethal for the television title, and R.D. puts the new streak on the line, 173-0 versus that television title gold. R.D., are you going to have a lot of friends and family in attendance on Saturday? Because this is very close to your birthplace, correct? Or at least your adopted home.
Let me tell you this. Every street freak in the audience is my friend. And my family, their names are Veda Scott, Moose, and Ramon. So you can guarantee my friends and family are going to be there.
All right. Well, that is this Saturday night. And we can't wait to see what happens. R.D. Evans, want to thank you for your time. And I want to wish you the best of luck. So now let's move on and let's get into the topic of the day. And we welcome in Justin Rosero, our producer extraordinaire. JR, how are you?
You cut my time, man.
Listen, jeez. Bobby Cruz had a lot
to say. I could have been on Main Event tonight talking to Dirty Network.
We got, you know, two guests and Bobby had a lot to say.
They were good. Bobby definitely emptied the war chest out all over the table here.
He's
and
great.
Did a great job. That was very interesting. And R.D. Evans is special in his own way. That was good, too. And
it
was fun.
Like the two, they were such different interviews. But I will tell you this, that the Bobby Cruz that you heard tonight, fans, is the same Bobby Cruz that we see in the locker room in Ring of Honor. And the R.D. Evans that you heard tonight is the same R.D. Evans that you would see in the locker room in Ring of Honor. They really are just like that. Bobby is just, his life is an open book, and he tells you what's on his mind. And R.D. Evans, he is R.D. Evans 24/7. He doesn't turn it off. So both guys, even though one's kind of real and one is a character, they're both the same. So...
Speaking of characters, but go ahead.
Oh, Jesus. How about our pal, Jim Ross?
Yeah, the other JR.
He's Jim Ross. You're JR. Yeah. Getting the announcing gig for the New Japan pay-per-view. What do you think about that deal? That's kind of our topic of the day.
Yeah.
The WWE Network ups and downs, whatever. But
apparently it's in purgatory tonight. I'm reading that it's completely just like imploded and shut down for everyone. So I don't know what they got going on. Maybe it'll magically reappear and like be perfect. And they'll have all the stuff uploaded, and that's what crashed it. Probably not.
Well, hey, listen. Whatever it is, it's technology, and sometimes, you know, every website runs into issues, and they'll get it straightened out. But Jim Ross is going to fly to Tokyo, and on, I guess, what is it, January 4th?
Yes.
He's going to be doing the Wrestle Kingdom pay-per-view, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Jeff Jarrett's involved in it. So what do you think?
I think it's good. I think it's a smart move, right? He's not been on TV for a while, and fans seem to love him. And I think if there's anyone that may bring extra buys to this thing, hearing that Jim Ross is going to call the show may do it for you, because I think a lot of fans, myself included, were a little bit worried if it was not going to be... I know they had rumored that it would be in English, but you never know. I mean, you don't want, you know, no offense to him, but Jeremy Borash calling it or something. You know, you're not going to be as interested. But, you know, Jim Ross had some legitimacy to it, a lot of legitimacy to it, and... You know, I'm considering ordering it. I've never really seen a New Japan show, so they've kind of roped me in a bit. I've heard the card is supposed to be very strong, and then, you know, like I said, JR calling it definitely adds that credibility to it as well. It sounds like Oklahoma losing is what cinched this thing for them, because apparently JR wasn't going to commit to it if there's a chance Oklahoma may be playing in a bowl game or something that week. So
in a New Year's Day, a big bowl game, right. But instead now they're probably going to go to like, the, you know, the... Little Caesars Bowl or the Peach Bowl in the middle of December, so no one will care.
Right, so he can do the show. Yeah, it'll be good. I think it'll be an interesting show. It's big for them. It's great to have another company. I hope it works well because of the competition. That's very well needed here. I hope Jarrett gets this first one off the ground and it's successful for him, and I'd like to see GFW do well. I want to see, I'm hoping TNA somehow finds a network and does well, and Ring of Honor does well, and 30 gets their head of their ass heading into Rumble season. So, hey, what do you think of Randy Orton? Red hot.
He is. And again, sometimes social media can be the enemy, you know, and it hasn't always been friendly to Randy Orton. Some dirty laundry has gotten out there about him, but fans creating these memes about him, RKOing everybody, whales, Eiffel Towers, children. It's really helped get him over. It's amazing how this type of thing in this viral culture that we live in has taken off, and I'm happy for him.
Would you do him in Brock at Mania? Never really been done.
Agreed. If I don't have Brian,
I don't think Brian's gonna be back.
If I'm not gonna go Brock Rock, which they're probably not gonna do, yeah, why not? Orton and Brock would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good match. I think if Orton's still over by then, it could be a big pop if he beats him.
It doesn't really seem to matter. Hopefully he will. So they have to meter this out and make sure that they play it nice and safely. They only got to get to January.
Mm-hmm.
They only got to get to Rumble.
Well, and they have to deliver on Survivor Series. Survivor Series has to be really good because it's the free month. You want to try and hook people. That's a show that needs to say, yes, these pay-per-views are worth having and worth checking out. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but they need to make Survivor Series really good.
I almost see it as a standalone, as its own thing. I'd load up the show with legends. I'd do a bunch of different things. I'd make it different than anything else.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like they're going to do that.
No.
It's only a couple weeks away, but
it's rough. Yeah. But I think Jim Ross is going to add an air of legitimacy to New Japan. And while everybody's talking about what Jeff Jarrett's thing is going to be, nobody's really talking about the fact that now New Japan is being introduced here to the audience in North America.
Mm-hmm.
On regular pay-per-view. And yes, it's going to be live at 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
No, it's early, isn't it, in the day? Or is it? I know it's airing twice, right?
Yeah, but they're going to replay it.
Yeah. That's the one that's going to probably be the big one. I think it's replaying Sunday
yeah,
evening.
Yeah, sure. It's on a kooky time, like in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever. But they're going to replay it. And I think that's the big story. And that's what not a lot of people are talking about. New Japan Pro Wrestling is the number, well, it's number two behind WWE,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of a rabid fan base that is growing exponentially and has the most over guys, it's New Japan. And their production value is incredible.
Yep.
And this is going to be a wonderful presentation. So I know that Ring of Honor has always been very proud to be involved with New Japan, and our relationship continues regardless of what anybody says. You know, we're going to have New Japan competitors at Final Battle, and our wrestlers are going over there to compete. Maria is taking over Matt Taven and Michael Bennett for the tag team tournament that they have. So mm-hmm. that's underway. So and they'll be leaving, I think, next week. And so, very excited for them. But that's to me is the big takeaway. Is Jarrett using New Japan to get on television in North America? Yeah. But New Japan is using Jarrett to get on television in North America, too. So,
yep.
And that's how it's going to work. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back. We'll do trending stories. And it's an abbreviated back-end edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. Lots of guests tonight, but lots of fun as well. So stick with us back in 2 minutes, and we'll roll on with the Kevin Kelly Show. Stay with us.
Back-end, are we back on the Kim K pictures? And we kick nothing but the fat shit. Them calls me the funkified,
funkalistic, vocalistic with the real shit. We got the shit you can't fuck with. What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass.
And now, the news the whole world is talking about. It's time for Trending Stories right here on The Kevin Kelly Show.
All right, we're back. Kevin Kelly Show continues. Trending Stories in a moment, but a word basically about our pals at Bonehead's, right, JR?
It's a hell of a place, Kev. A hell of a wing bar, hell of a restaurant, hell of a everything. They have all your pay-per-view needs, WWE, UFC, all your sporting events. A lot of cool music, too. Matt and the gang will always take care of you. Wing Tour Wednesday, Steak Mondays from Monday Night Football, all kinds of drinks. My crew is going to be there the night after Thanksgiving. If you're in town, come join us. Come say hi. We're going to roll about 20 deep in the bar area. We'll be there that Friday night after Providence College's basketball game. Big day for me, Kev. And speaking of big days, it's Saturday. PC raises the banner. Big East champions.
And I know you're very excited about that. The prospects of a Providence College return to the big dance this year looking good?
I hope so. I mean, they got a lot of they'll be relying on a few freshmen and a couple guys coming back from injury. But I'm feeling good. I think they've looked strong so far in practice and in their one preseason game. Ed Cooley's a good coach. I think they're at least a top four team in the Big East, so they got to become a top three to, I think, get in. So we'll see.
Anything could happen. And yes. Bonehead's is, where can the folks find Bonehead's?
Washington Street in West Warwick, Rhode Island. Bonehead Wing Bar on Facebook. Just search that. It'll come right up. Tell them PTBN sent you, and they'll take care of you. So Bonehead's Wing Bar.
So I know people are having problems with the WWE Network tonight, but I'm sure they'll get that fixed. But you know what? I'm sick of the wires. I'm sick of the bills every month. I'm sick of my cable. I got to do something else, JR. I just can't take it anymore.
Cut that cord, Kev, and you know how to do that. So all kinds of information for you. GetRidOfCable.net. Our good friends over there have all the information you could need about how to go ahead and finally pull that plug. And they give you all the different services you can have. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Roku. And they give you the prices, the best place to find it, their reviews, the reasons why you should become a cord cutter, and all the different other options available to you. GetRidOfCable.net. Please visit them. Give them a couple checkouts and maybe start to consider it. You know, I think that's the way we're headed anyway. So fight the man, Kev.
If people ever really looked into what they're paying for on their bill and with bundled cable.
Oh, yeah, it's absurd.
Again, it's criminal what the cable companies are doing to us. And that's why I go to getridofcable.net, check out what your options are, learn about it, become an informed consumer, and cut the cord, because we've got to stop this nonsense. We're throwing so much money away.
Make your TV look as cool as shit.
Yeah, there you go. Now we're talking. And you know, listen, I'm not a huge music guy, but my love of music has grown. And I just love what's going on PTBN. I love the site. Every time I go there, it's something new, whether it's contests or columns about music history or television history or wrestling or whatever. There's a lot of great stuff going on there.
And tons of basketball coverage, too. Our NBA stuff has been top-notch with Adam Murray and Andrew Reach's podcast. But yeah, Kev, as you know, the TV character tournament did very well, so we're on to our second one, and that is the greatest song of the 90s. 640 entries in this tournament. Every day, there's a pool of 10 songs to go up. You pick 5 to advance on, and then we'll head to the second round when that's done. So a lot of great stuff happening there. We implore you to head over. There have been HIJ. There'll be the 10th pool up tomorrow. So a lot of good songs. Go back and vote. The polls will remain open all the way through the first round. Here's just a sampling. So here's the 10 songs that were up today. Metallica, Sad But True from 1991. Natalie Merchant's Wonder. Sepultura's Roots, Bloody Roots. Entrance with Staying Alive. You may know that one from the FBI and ECW. Bush with Come Down. U2 with Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me. Tag Team with Whoomp, There It Is. Oh. Victory by Puff Daddy, Notorious B.I.G., and Busta Rhymes. Just the Two of Us with Will Smith, and Jamboree by Naughty by Nature. This is one of our weaker pools today. There's been some real heavy hitters across the other ones, and some big ones coming up this weekend. Each and every day these go up, Saturday and Sunday included. So you can go ahead and vote. They go up at midnight every day. So they're up for the late night guys. They're up for the international folk. And then they're there when you fire up your work computer and you're looking for something to do to kill those first 20 minutes at work. So anything you want to cast a vote for here, Kev?
Tag Team.
Back Whoomp, again. Yep.
There it is. Come on.
That's it? It's the only one?
I would also vote for the Metallica tune.
Yep.
Natalie Merchant and Bush.
Let me get one more. Want to go with Victory, Puff Daddy? That's a good one.
No.
Will Smith?
Got to go with Will Smith.
All right. See, yeah, most of your picks are in the top 5. Natalie Merchant's on the outside looking in. So get those votes in. PlaySimulation.com. Take part in the biggest tournament on the internet today. Let's hit those trending topics, Kevin. What do you say?
This is what I love. This is our trending stories here. We do 3. Sometimes we have an extra one. And there's usually a musical interlude to kind of give us a clue as to what the story is about. All right, JR, take it away. Fire up trending story number 1 here on The Kevin Kelly Show.
It should be your new theme song, to be honest with you.
It's a really good one.
It's a hell of a jam right there. All right. After years of Wheel of Fortune contestant fails, Pat Sajak's sanity may have finally landed on bankrupt. While filming a Best Friends Week episode in Hawaii, one puzzle caused Sajak to totally lose it. The category was, "What are you doing?" After guessing an N and having no hope, one of the contestants shouted out, "Riding a brown horse," which would have worked perfectly for the amount of letters, but was too ridiculous to ever be an answer. The next contestants then guessed riding a white horse, causing Sajak to promptly walk off set. Lee and Mitch, the pair with the original horse guests, would go on to win the show, but not before witnessing the Pat Sajak meltdown to end them all. You can check that out on HuffingtonPost.com. Has the video of Pat's meltdown. The best part, too, is he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So it's like, you know, because you're in Hawaii and it's doing the theme. What's your favorite game show, Kev? Give me your top 5 game shows.
All time, Price is Right. Jeopardy and
No whammies.
Yes, thank
Press your
you.
Luck.
Press your luck.
How about
I also was a Tic Tac Toe fan.
Tic Tac Toe. The 90s was a breeding ground. A Supermarket Sweep. I was addicted to. I loved watching that show.
Right.
Shop Till You Drop. What about Win Ben Stein's Money? Were you into that one?
No, I was not. See, I'm older than you.
Yeah.
So I was in the generation like during the summer.
Chuck Woolery.
10 o'clock in the morning, you had Wheel of Fortune, you had another game show. I mean, that was what it was. It was game shows.
Yes, and Hollywood Squares, as Dan McGinn points out.
I loved Hollywood. Any of those celebrity shows, I was always kind of
Yeah.
You know what? Another one of my favorites, $25,000 Pyramid.
Yes. That had the best theme music. What are your favorite songs? Family Feud, we didn't mention either because you talk about songs.
Family Feud had an awesome one.
The Pyramid's the best song, though.
Pyramid, absolutely. Hands down, bar none. Dick Clark, the host.
Yes.
Merv Griffin, the creator of Wheel of Fortune. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
That man is just made of money. All right, let's keep rolling. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Get that pyramid. Oh, man, that was great. I loved how the little bondage thing that they had the people put their hands in, right? So they couldn't use their hands, so they had to put them in these little sleeves.
It's right up your alley.
Dude, I work with a guy that's like this, not a Ring of Honor.
Vince Russo?
Oh. No.
Let's do some bondage, Kev. Swerve him. They'll think you're bonded, but it'll be me.
I thought the rock that he was under was permanently was permanently on top of him. He just resurfaces.
It gets right in those open letters that no one reads.
Oh,
except
boy.
Except for PW Insider. All right, you ready?
Bless his heart. All right, more trending stories right now because we can't just have one. Let's go to the second one here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
All righty. You know them?
What?
Them's the Beatles. The two largest Paramus malls are following the national shift to Thanksgiving shopping by opening on the holiday, the first time any major Paramus shopping centers will have done so. The decision by Westfield Garden State Plaza, the state's biggest mall, and Paramus Park to open from 6 to 11 on Thanksgiving comes as more and more retailers are promoting Thanksgiving shopping as a perfect activity after a holiday meal. Paramus, when borough ordinances prohibit stores from being open after 11 p.m. or before 7 a.m., has resisted the trend to begin Black Friday shopping and deals on Thanksgiving night, but it looks like they're falling and changing that feeling. So, Kev, what do you think? Where do you land on this issue?
I go back and forth because I understand that I understand sort of the sanctity of the holiday and people want to make sure that they keep the stores closed so they allow people to have time with their family and friends. But I'm also one too that has never been shy about going out shopping, whether it's Black Friday or last year on Thanksgiving. I didn't have any problem doing it. We enjoyed our dinner and then we went out because that, you know, the Cowboys game wasn't that great. So I was just like, let's go out and go stretch your legs a little bit and have some fun. And I just love to people watch and look at people. So I understand why they do it. I also understand people that don't support it, but I'm all for shopping anytime, any place, anywhere. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with the concept of it. I think it should be completely employee-driven, though. I feel like if the employees, they should have a vote in these stores, and if it's, you get enough minimum to open, then you do it. If not, you don't. I don't think it should be driven by corporate. I don't think anyone should be punished. And even if you're not outwardly punished, you shouldn't be inwardly punished, you know, if you don't do it, you look down, frowned upon. Because, I mean, when I worked at Stop and Shop, they would open on the holidays, but it was completely 100% voluntary. If you wanted the extra money and you didn't care if you worked Easter morning, okay, you work 4 or 5 hours and you go home. I think it should be something like that. I don't think it should be... They shouldn't decide if they're going to be open until they take a vote and say, yes, we got 10 people that are willing to work Thanksgiving night because they want the time and a half and they'll come do it.
As long as they're getting paid extra and they're able to, you know, do something like that, then sure. That's fine. You know, again, I would wish we could get back to a time where wrestling promotions would have shows on Thanksgiving night, because that to me was always like one of the best nights ever. Me and my buddy got in the car, went down, drove Starcade 87. And we watched it at the Sunrise Musical Theater. My buddy Will Gold, it was so much fun. Loved it. Incredible. Awesome. Wish we could do that in Ring of Honor now. My wife would hate me. That's
the
story.
Already? Okay.
Just more so. All right. So that's get ready for Halloween. Get ready for Halloween. Get ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas because it's right around the corner. But we're shopping for more. We want more.
By the way, Sirius started the Christmas music. You been listening at all?
No, I haven't. It on their own, they have a Christmas channel.
Yeah, they have the holiday traditions and the Holly channels are up right now. So Holly's like the poppy kind of music.
I'm a big fan of the 25 Days of Christmas on ABC Family, but I'm not a big fan of the Christmas commercial starting this early.
See, it doesn't. I think I'm one of the few that's not bothered by it starting early, like the music and all that, because we got, you know, we got 10.5 other months to listen to all the other music and everything else. We can't, I mean, I don't mind getting the Christmas going an extra 2.5 weeks. That doesn't right. bother me. Whatever. I'm fine with it. It's a cool time of year. It's a fun time of year, especially with kids. It's really fun.
Sure.
I look forward to it. And to me, I can listen to Taylor Swift the other 11 months. I don't need to hear it this 1 month. If I want to hear some extra Christmas music and start getting a little excited. And the snow's supposed to be the forecast this weekend anyway.
Yeah. So. How about that? 15 inches of snow out in Minnesota. Crazy.
Yeah, F that.
All right. So more
Hated
trending.
Fox is not happy.
No. More trending stories now, because do we have three or four this week?
I think we got four.
Oh, this is awesome. And then, so this is number three coming up here. It's another trending story on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Jeez, Luth. You can look at that poster on your wall, Kevin, the prepubescent tones of Justin Bieber, because on Saturday, him and the Pittsburgh Steelers were both at the same worship service. Cam Heyward and Bruce Gronkowski took photos with the amateur basketball player, who was wearing a Yinzer-tastic shirt. The next day, the Steelers lost to the Jets 20-13. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I find it to be sufficient enough evidence that this crooning imp should not be allowed near any sports teams. Ben Roethlisberger disagrees. Not a big deal at all. For instance, Plaxico Burress also stopped by. Obviously, his family. We've had other athletes, actors, and celebrities stop by. It's not a big deal at all. Deadspin disagrees and says there's totally a Bieber curse. Kevin, do you blame Justin Bieber for the Steelers suddenly hitting a wall and losing to my hapless Jets?
I do. And you know what? I texted you, what was that, Saturday, I think, and it was something about the show, and I said, and go Jets. I seriously was going to text you, I think the Jets are going to win. And I don't know whether or not you would have believed me, but I at least would have been on record, because I had a feeling deep down, whether it was the Bieber curse or not, I think the Bieber curse is real. I think that that is a legit thing. I think they could probably file for some sort of amnesty with the league and maybe get that loss stricken from the record. But I had a feeling somehow, some way, the Jets were going to win. You must have just been over the moon on Sunday.
No, I was pissed. Of course they're going to win, because
it screws them.
Said,
you said, no, I hope we lose out because we want the highest draft pick possible.
Right, and now they have a little bit of a weaker schedule. They're kind of getting the shit together. Vic has looked okay. I guarantee you they're going to be stupid and end up winning like 5 games. They're going to win 3 more. That's my prediction. And they're going to go stupid 5-11 and have like the 8th pick instead of the 2nd or 3rd pick. Jets football. That's what's coming.
Jets football coming at you. Rex Ryan, does he in any way, shape, or form survive?
I think if they win at least 6 or 7, maybe. But I don't know if they can win that many at this point.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I think the Bieber curse is real. Scarlett Bordeaux, our weekend ring announcer this past weekend, works at a high-end liquor club in Chicago. Open up at 10 o'clock, and they close at 4 a.m. And it's like high rollers are in there. So the club the other night, and Justin Bieber trying to get in, and they wouldn't let him in because he's not 21.
Nice.
So they got sort of flack from Bieber's people, but at the same time, this is like a really nice establishment. It's no bullshit. It's like $750 bottles, and they wouldn't let him in. So I said, atta girl. Nice job.
Sure, with the Club La Vila with Ricky Rackman and WCW Spring Break.
Ricky Rackman. What a joke. I wish it could have gotten... those Panama City shows were fun, I bet.
Yeah, I want to get... Let's get Ricky Rackman on. You could probably get a hold of him.
Or not. Oh. How about that? Let's not. Some of your suggestions for guests are Vader.
Vader would be fun.
No, he wouldn't be fun at all.
It's not my fault everyone hates you.
No one hates me. Everybody comes on. We have a great time.
Let's get
we Gangrel on 2 weeks Schiavone ago. On. What, Gangrel wasn't awesome?
Gangrel was the man. We got to get Tony Schiavone on. That's the one.
I don't think Tony will do it.
You did Jim Ross. You're bigger than him.
No, I'm not.
Should be. All right, ready?
Yes. There's more. It's trending stories number 4 for you now on the Kevin Kelly Show.
You like that, huh?
That Michael Bublé, man.
Michael Bublé. The very title of this article, Kevin, which is titled, Rumor Patrol, Sony developing an Aunt May movie without Spider-Man? Whether it proves to be false or not should be a clear indication of what kind of mess Sony's Spider-Man franchise is in. The fact that an idea of an Aunt May movie is even a plausible talking point is bad, but here we go. In a new report, the Latino Review claims that Sony is thinking of making a movie based on Spider-Man character Aunt May. It would be set in the past and detail the Amazing Spider-Man version of Aunt May was actually a spy in her youth. This would, of course, be a totally new backstory for the character because nothing like this has ever been done in the comics. The most obvious reasoning behind this would be for Sony to once again find a way to ride the trending wave in superhero moviedom on the back of their sole franchise player. You a superhero movie fan?
I'm becoming one.
Yeah.
I'm a little late to the game. But
it seems like a stretch, this one.
That this is not plausible at all. But one of the reasons why I'm becoming a superhero movie, more importantly, a Marvel fan, is because of the TV show that's on ABC. What's it called? Marvel's cast of
Modern
characters.
Marvels? The one on History Channel?
Oh. Dan McGinn, chime in. Come on.
Ben
you
Morris
know the name
of this. Punch a hole to the wall right now. By the way, do you follow PTBN's very own Ben Morse on Twitter? You know, he works at Marvel.com as well.
That's right. I got to add him to the ranks.
Yeah.
But anyway, the that show is getting me to become a fan of superhero movies. And the one that kind of stretches the boundary and kind of sounds like this Aunt May thing a little bit is Once Upon a Time, that show on ABC, because they kind of rewrite backstories and intertwine characters that were never intertwined before, so it's a little bit weird for me, but I kind of go with it. Is this another Scarlett Johansson vehicle, or is she just strictly a Marvel girl? Who's gonna play Aunt May? It'll be some hottie, and there we go.
Also, did you see CM Punk writing for Marvel.com as well now, or doing some kind of book writing for comic books?
There you go. Think he'll bitch over there, or is he gonna be happy?
Who the fuck knows?
But Bobby Cruz described him, said he's moody. He's always been moody. Moody back then, moody now.
Agents
moody,
of S.H.I.E.L.D., moody, Dan McGinn asks.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., thank you. Thank you, Dan McGinn. Very good. Very good stuff. All right, so that is there more, or is that it?
That's it, sir. Let's take it home. I'm out. Bye.
Bye. Oh, my gosh. Well, we ran out of time. We didn't get to play our game this week, but we'll do that next week. I want to say thanks to our guest this week, Bobby Cruz, who gave us everything and more that we could have asked for. Open and honest. That's how he lives his life. So thanks to Bobby, and thanks to R.D. Evans, who this Saturday will challenge for the television title. He puts the new streak on the line against Jay Lethal. Will R.D. become the television champ? We'll find out in San Antonio. That's where I will be this Saturday. Hope to get a little bit of Texas barbecue, maybe some Tex-Mex in. But it's a down and back trip, and I'm looking forward to being home with my family on Sunday. Check out a little football and enjoy the snow and the cold. Whatever life presents you, just make the most of it, because traveling and working and whatever, we don't get to do things that we like to do. Just make sure you take time out for yourself and go do something fun this week, and get out and enjoy life a little bit more. Break old habits, start new ones. And get your act together. And by the way, JR, while I'm wrapping up, we got to have the DDP yoga conversation. You and me, we got to have the conversation because we got to get this thing going.
All right. So next episode, we're talking fitness a little bit. We got DDP yoga. We have my fitness app. We're going to hit about both on the next episode.
We got to start planning and preparing. All right. 2 weeks' time, I'm not sure who our guest is going to be. I've got a couple of feelers out there with some different folks. But we'll round things into form next week. I want to thank everybody for listening. It's 22 episodes in the books. It's the Kevin Kelly Show, and it's found right here on the Place to Be Nation at placetobenation.com.
Let's get Kim Kardashian. Hachi Machi.
Hachi Machi.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now, and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had the strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with. Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.
$100,000 pyramid is a Bob Stewart production.